Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. It's me again, William Ramo. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up?
Ain't nothing much, man. You know, just a typical day in sports, man. You know, we're going to talk Knicks basketball as Knicks finally snapped their long losing streak, seven-game losing streak. Then we're going to talk football. You know, recap the recent Giants loss to the 49ers. You know, Jets got the bye week this week. And, you know, we're also going to talk a little baseball, a little hot stove as Mets made a little splash a few days ago. We'll talk about that also. And, of course, you know, folks, we always end the show with a little sports entertainment, a little WWE talk. And with that, you know, of course, you guys all know the number, and feel free to you know, let your voices be heard, and you know, feel free to give us a call and you know, let us know what you think. So, with that in mind, let's talk Knicks basketball here. And finally the Knicks won a game, man. They snapped their 7-game losing streak. They improved to 3-8, and they snapped their 3-game losing streak at home. So, the Knicks, defeated Carmelo Anthony's former team, the Denver Nuggets, by the final score of 109 to 93. And J.R. Smith, he had a big game. He had an impressive game. He scored 28 points. From he went 10 of 16, and field goal percentage wise. And it was a much needed win, man. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the Knicks played a great game. J.R. Smith played in replacement with Shumpert, who sat out. I guess he was suffering from a right hip contusion, I think.
Right.
J.R. Smith he played really great. Had scored 28 points. Melo scored 28 points as well. And Knicks, they played good defense today. They held the Nuggets to only one shot in the second quarter. One shot.
I know that's domination right there.
Yeah, Nuggets only scored 8 points in that quarter. Knicks outscored them 31-8. So that Knicks played good defense, but as you've seen in the past, Knicks tend to let these teams get back into the game, and that's what
Oh
happened
yeah.
in the third and fourth quarter.
Oh yeah. Especially in the fourth quarter. They cut the lead down to, I think, what was it? Eight,
Like
nine or eight
four.
points? Oh yeah,
Yeah.
four.
No, yeah, it could have been more than that. It could have been 8 or 9. I don't remember, but.
Yeah. One point we were leading by 25, but like you said, the Knicks always, play to their competition, and they let teams
Exactly.
go back into the get back into the game.
Yep.
So,
They held on to win it.
and that's the most important thing. And
That's how they need to play the rest of the season, you know. You got to beat the teams that that you have to beat.
yeah, absolutely. And of course, folks, if you like to chime in on the Knicks or anything else, of course that number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to share your thoughts if you'd like. Getting back to the Knicks, before this game, they lost a heartbreaking loss. When the, wasn't it Brevin Knight who shot the game-winning three-pointer against them on Friday night? I think
Against
it was the Jazz, I think it was.
it was against the Jazz, right? Was it? I forgot the guy's name.
Let me
Who
check.
you said it was?
Was it Brevin Knight? I'm trying to remember who it was.
Damn, I don't even
Let me
remember the
double
dude's name.
check. Because, that, I mean,
That
Knicks were
was a
up by
heartbreaker.
two. Knicks were up by two, man. And that, you can't make this stuff up, And he nails the shot, and they get the loss.
Was
Yeah,
it
that
a
was
tie
huge.
game, or was it a it's Trey Burke, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Trey Burke.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 2.3 seconds left, and he hit the three pointer.
Yeah, so that was a bad loss.
Oh no, wait, that wait. I'm trying to think. I think it might have been less than 2 seconds when he hit that shot. There was like
It was a
no, there
quick
was,
shot.
yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was a devastating loss. But Knicks rebounded, then they won today, so that's good.
Oh yeah.
It's good that they didn't dwell on that loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And now the Knicks can hopefully build on this win.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have a long way to go to reach 500.
Yeah, right now they're 3-7, so I mean it's still early,
Oh yeah,
but
of course.
they gotta start playing much better and play much better defense than even playing recently.
Absolutely. And before Friday night game, they never scored 100 points, for the season. So far, these last two games, they've cracked the 100 point mark two consecutive
Yeah.
games. So hopefully they can keep that going and have play better defense.
Real.
overall. I mean, they did a much better job, earlier, this afternoon. But
they got to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They got to get there for real.
If they want celebrities to keep coming to Celebrity Row on Friday night, to watch the Knicks games, they got to bring the defensive intensity.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens, in the future. Hopefully, they can bounce back like they did today.
Yeah.
But let's shift gears. Speaking of a team that needs to bounce back, man, it's your Giants, man. They lost, to the 49ers today by the final score of 16-10. And basically, all the teams in New York, with the exception of Rangers, they all have two or three wins. The Giants, the Jets,
yeah.
The Knicks. I mean, they all basically have the same records, man.
Yeah, it's bad. New York sports,
oh, yeah.
That's going on right now.
Oh yeah, no doubt
and
about that.
The Giant game today. I mean, the Giants they had every chance to win it today. Every chance to win it. I mean, the Niners are a good team. They're not as good as a team as they were last year or even the year before that, but they're still a good, solid, football team. Their offense is not lights out. So the New York Giants could have scored on them today, but they kept turning the ball over every time they had a chance to score. And Eli threw five interceptions, which didn't help.
Oh, yeah.
And he threw a key interception where we were driving to get the lead, and that pretty much sealed the game. And we end up losing this game 16-10. It was a pretty close. And again, we had every chance. And now we're 3-7, and we just have to win. Giants fans just have to hope that Giants win every game from here on out to even get into the wild card at this point.
Yeah,
the division is out of the question. I don't think they're winning the division right now. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, Philadelphia is. It's 7-2, and then you got Dallas 7-3. So,
yeah.
I think I'd have to agree with you on that. Unfortunately for the Giants fans, the Giants and their fans, the division. That's definitely don't look like they have a shot to win that.
Yeah, because Cowboys and Eagles, they're playing real good right now. They're on top of the division. It doesn't look like they're gonna go on any losing streak. On any long losing streak anytime soon. So,
okay.
Giants just have to hope that they can qualify for the wild card. They have to pull out one of those miracle Giant seasons and hope that they win out.
Yeah.
But there was one bright spot today. I mean, Odell Beckham, he played really well. This kid is exciting. He seems to, catch anything that you throw to him. I mean, this kid, I'm starting to think he's the illegitimate son of the Beckhams. For real.
Yeah, he could definitely end it like Beckham.
He's going to be a great player.
Yeah, you might be right. Remember, soccer, they call what do they call soccer in internationally?
Football.
Exactly. Yeah, man.
He was the one bright spot.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. The number five definitely hasn't been good for the Giants today. With the like you said, the aforementioned five interceptions by Manning, and unfortunately the Giants are currently on a five-game losing streak.
Yep.
And Manning, man, ever since last year, he's been a interception machine.
Well, entering this game, he only had six interceptions entering this game. But today he has five alone.
I know, yeah.
So he's kept it down this year, but
yeah.
Today's game was it was atrocious.
Yeah. It was a shade of last year, basically.
Yeah.
But hopefully, it's just an anomaly and he'll be back,
Let's hope so.
Solid. Because they definitely need him to get his act together if they have any chance or any dreams of, making this a respectable season.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, you know, the Jets, they have the bye week. You know, they have the bye week this week. And you know, they finally, like we spoke, you know, they finally snapped that losing streak against the Steelers.
Yeah, that was a good game last week.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they you know, they basically, the defense basically held down Roethlisberger after he had his two best, you know, the two best games of his career, you know, throwing six touchdowns each.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they were on a roll offensively.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't do anything last week.
Yeah, you're right. So hopefully
they just play some good defense.
Yeah, they're gonna need it. I mean, the season's already done, but, you know, but they, you know, like the Giants right now, they gotta, even though Giants have a much better shot, but, you know, they definitely gotta play better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's, with that in mind, let's, you know, shift gears with, you know, baseball, the hot stove, you know. Heat it up, you know, of course, the big news is that, you know, the Marlins, they must have stole Scrooge McDuck's money bank, money bin, because they just shelled out a 13-year, $325 million contract to Giancarlo Stanton. And
where the hell did they get all that money from?
So that's the $325 million question right now. Because yes, folks, you didn't hear right. You don't have to clean your ears with Q-tips. You heard right. The Marlins, the Miami Marlins, gave a player a superstar contract, superstar money. They didn't go inside the you know, the bargain basement and, you know, lowballed them. They said, you know, they broke, you know, A-Rod's record. For the highest paid contract.
Yeah, it's going to be $325 million for 10 years. It's not official yet. I mean, it's on the verge. It's still pending, but it looks like it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, it's still pending until he takes out a pen and and puts his signature on it. Or he gets hurt. But I doubt that scenario is going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know... you know, the Marlins, other than 2 years ago when they shelled out the money and signed Jose Reyes and Heath Bell and Mark Burley, you know, that this organization hasn't been known to keep their players. They always trade them away, especially after championship runs.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's good they finally shelled out the money, you know, gave the Marlins fans something, you know, to, you know, go to the Sunlight Stadium and, you know, watch.
Well, I'll see it when I'll believe when I see it, when they keep him for at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, kind of, because we were basically saying that, but I think they did give him a no trade clause. So, I mean, he should be, you know, a Marlin for many years to come.
Yeah.
Barring injury, you know. So, you know, it's a good move for them. A little surprising because, you know, Marlins don't tend to, you know, spend the money, let alone, you know, make a blockbuster signing like that.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, for me as a Met fan, I'm going to have to see this guy for 13 more years. But it is what it is. As long as Mets pitching, you know, keeps, you know, they keep pitching the way they've been pitching this year with the addition of Harvey returning. And, you know, of course, the emergence of Jacob deGrom, who recently won the National League Rookie of the Year Award. So, you know, congratulations to him.
Congrats on that.
Yeah, you know, so he really deserved it. The only person who gave him competition was Billy Hamilton from the Reds. But, man, this guy, man, he's... DeGrom, man, he totally deserved it. You know, he had an impressive season, highlighted by one of the games, I think it was against the Marlins, the aforementioned Marlins, when he struck out the first eight batters in the game. to tie a major league record until the pitcher broke it up. So he tied the modern day record, and he almost set the major league record, but you know the pitcher broke it up.
He could be a 1-2 punch once Matt Harvey comes back for you guys.
Oh yeah, you know Harvey's expected to come back, you know, this season, and now they have a new teammate, you know, Michael Kadir, you know, the veteran. You know, he's a veteran utility guy, been all over, you know, he's been a journeyman, played for the Rockies recently, the Twins, you know, he's bounced around all over the place.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, very good friends with Wright, and he might be, you know, one of the final pieces, who knows, you know, a guy who could hit, as long as he can stay healthy, you know, he's hungry to win a championship. And you know that's what the Mets need. You know, you need young guys, which Mets have, you know, with the young pitching.
Yeah.
And you need a hungry veteran who's never tasted a championship, or a guy, preferably a guy who's had championship success and you know wants to take on that leadership role and you know lead the Mets to the World Series, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You know, hopefully this is not the biggest move Mets make in the offseason. Hopefully, you know, Mets can get some more bats here. You know, most likely at shortstop. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You said something, Matt? Did you say something?
Oh, no.
Because I heard some silence. I was... Now wondering, you know, if you were saying something, there was technical difficulties.
No, I was just listening.
All right, that's cool. But I don't know if you heard, you know, the former Yankee Robinson Cano, he got injured at the MLB All Star Tour.
Oh really?
Yeah, he injured his ankle. He got hit in the foot and he got hurt. I don't know the severity of the injury, but you know he's hurt.
Well, I mean he's not my player no more, so I don't have to worry about that.
But you know we'll see what happens in the off season for both teams and you know throughout baseball. So of course, folks, you know we'll keep you posted with you know what's going on in the world of sports. And let's. You know, shift over to, you know, WWE. And, of course, you know, the Survivor Series, one of the biggest pay-per-view events in WWE history, is going to happen later this month. And the biggest news that happened, really, was Ryback on Raw. He joined Team Authority. At the end of the night, after he fought John Cena in a one-on-one match, it appears that Ryback turned on the Authority and will join, you know, Team Cena, but that hasn't been confirmed. But with his actions, I mean, it definitely seals the fact that he will be Team Cena.
Yeah, it's definitely pointing towards that direction. I don't see him going back to a heel again. I think he's going to be a good guy this time.
Yeah, because he was when he came back a few weeks ago, he was a good guy. But then this week on Raw, they kind of made him go heelish. You know, before he attacked Cena, you know, he was like in his heel mode.
Yep.
You know, I guess they wanted to, make you uncertain whether if he's a good guy or a bad guy or whatnot. But it looks like, you know, Ryback is still a good guy.
I think he's gonna remain a good guy for now.
So, what do you think about who do you think is gonna win? I know this is a little early, you know, for the predictions, but let's just talk about just the team one. What do you think? Okay, what do you think about the picks for both sides?
Well, again, run them down for me. I'm not sure
okay.
for all of them.
All right, Team Cena has Cena, Dolph Ziggler. He got attacked at the end of the show by Luke Harper, who's the newest member that replaced Ryback. So let's go back to the top. There's Cena. There's
Ziggler.
Ziggler. Jack Swagger was in the group, but he got injured. So he I think he got attacked, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So he's not in Team Cena anymore. Then you have Big Show. And let me see, who's the other person? Well,
Sheamus?
I would assume. Oh, yeah, Sheamus is the other one, right? Thank you.
Yep.
And I would assume Ryback.
Yeah, looks like he's going to be Ryback.
And basically what they did, WWE did, was basically they paired the rivals against one another. You know, you have Big Show facing Mark Henry on the opposite side.
Oh, yeah.
You have, let me see. Trying to think who else is in the feud with each other.
Rusev and, well, I think Rusev will also be Big Show.
Well, yeah, that's true. That is a good point.
Or Sheamus, Rusev, maybe.
Oh, yeah, no, you know what? It is Sheamus, because remember, he beat Sheamus.
Yeah, yeah.
For the title. So Sheamus' rival is naturally Rusev. I'm trying to think who else is in. Seth Rollins. You know, he's the captain of the team. So I guess he's the only one that doesn't really have a natural rival, really. I mean, because his natural, unless if you want to put Cena, since, you know, him and Cena has a beef still.
Yeah.
And, Dean Ambrose feud with Rollins has ended right now. So basically, you know, Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose are going to fight at the pay-per-view, you know, in a one-on-one match. But let me see. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, the other natural rivals. Well, basically, you know, on Team Authority, you know, Team Authority has Seth Rollins. It has Mark Henry, Rusev, Luke Harper, and Kane. I think
Kane will be Ziggler, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I would say so.
Or Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins could be Cena, I guess.
Yeah, I think Cena and Rollins would be the natural rival, since he didn't interfere in his...
Yeah.
You know, Rollins didn't interfere in Cena's match at against Brock Lesnar in that rematch.
Right.
I think it was Night of Champions, if I'm not mistaken, the pay-per-view
that
happened.
I think so.
So, yeah. So, basically, I think though the villains, Team Authority side is better, you know, rosterized. Basically, WWE, what they did was just put the rivals against each other on opposite sides. The other group, I think, the Cena group could have been better. You know, if they had Dean Ambrose in it, you know, Bray Wyatt could have been, you know, inside the Team Authority instead of Luke Harper. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I don't know who else would you add to these teams?
I would add Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt on opposite sides against each other.
True, but I want to see Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt fight in a singles match.
Yeah, that's true. I mean that is, trust me, I want to see that. They could have held off one month, you know.
True,
December.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, it is interesting to give Luke Harper. He is, you know, breaking out. This could be a big opportunity for him to stand out. So,
right.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in a few weeks.
That'll
or is it? No, actually, well, next Sunday, I think it is. Next Sunday is the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's
so
before
we'll
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so we'll definitely give you the preview tomorrow. I mean, next week, Sunday. Of course, you know, you have anything you'd like to say, man?
Check out my show, iMac, Saturdays at 11. Check out Sports of Legend every Sundays at 6.
You heard the guy. Check out both shows. You won't regret it. And, of course, guys, as usual, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Sports of Legend. With my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am Wayne Ramo, so I'll see you guys next week.